good to go. Have fun.
Oh, hi, I'm Sandy Goldman. Today is November 6, 2011. It is 1:05, and I'm conducting an interview with Vanetta Morger for Quilters SOS, Save Our Stories, a project of the Alliance for American Quilt. Vanetta and I are at the International Quilt Festival in Houston, Texas. Vanetta, will you tell me some things about the quilt you brought today?
Sure. The quilt that I brought today was made especially for the Cherry Wood Challenge that actually is my brainchild for raising funds for ovarian cancer for MD Anderson for research, education, and awareness. And this is a quilt that was based on a picture that I had seen. It's an old Turkish ruin, and it's actually, I discharged the background, and all of the fabrics on there are cherry wood, except for the vines. I felted those with my felting machine. And of course, I used machine trapunto, machine applique to put the flowers on, and then also I machine quilted it myself on my domestic machine.
What did you use to discharge?
I used chlorine.
Oh.
And then you have to wash it very well and use a stopper.
Okay. Do you often discharge?
Not that often. I'm also, as you can tell in my book, I also do traditional quilting, but I'm also venturing into art quilting, and so I'm trying all different kinds of techniques in the art quilting, and I'm trying to keep a foot in both realms.
Okay. Do you quilt every day?
I do, but only since about 2007. My mother taught me to quilt when I was 10 years old. She taught me to sew when I was 10 years old. And she was the kind of woman that would stay up all night and make our prom dresses for us. So when I got into high school, I designed and made all of my clothes back then. My mother had 9 children. I'm one of 9 children. And so she had an amazing amount of energy and creativity and panache for us. And so she taught me how to quilt, how to sew, and I never really thought that I would even think about quilting, because quilting isn't in my family, until I had my first daughter, my first child, actually a daughter, in 1986. And I took my first class, and it was templates and hand piecing and hand quilting, and it took me 4 years to finish that quilt, and I thought, This is a very long process to get something that's just a wall hanging done. So I didn't end up really quilting very much, and for a couple more years, my children were small. We had our son a few years later. I was busy being a mom. I was working part time. We were moving. My husband is with an oil company, and we've moved from the Houston area to St. Louis to Wyoming, to Anacortes, Washington, back to Houston, over to Holland, then to England, and now we've been here for the last 7 years. So the quilt that's in the book, and it's called Wyoming Prairie Winters, because in 1992, I thought I would take another quilting class. And they had a huge fabric store there in Gillette, Wyoming. And I took several classes, and they were excellent quilting classes. And so this class that I took, it was a feathered star class. And again, it was with templates, but it was with machine quilting this time and doing Y seams. So it was very technical, and I completed a wall hanging. And I enjoyed the process so much that I bought a lot of fabric that I thought would be great if I repeated this 4 times and made it into a bed-sized quilt. Well, with children and with moving, I've taken that pattern and that project with me to all the other places around the world, and then back to Texas. So I started that in 1992. I lost the directions. I went to all kinds of resources to try to figure out how to put together a feathered star, all different kinds of techniques. So trying to, if you will, piece it all together on my own. And then in 2008, my sister, my baby sister, who was 39 at the time, just turning 40, was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. And so I decided life is too short. I need to finish my quilts. And this was one of the projects that was one of my oldest ones. And so I put my mind to it and I figured out how to put it all together. And then when I had it all together, I was afraid to quilt it. I wanted to finish it totally on my own. And it wasn't until I took a class by Sue Nichols that she had come and taught a workshop at our guild, at the Woodlands Area Quilt Guild, did I have the confidence to know that I could do this bed-size quilt on my domestic machine. And so she gave me the confidence, and I ended up planning my stitches and what I wanted to do. And of course, Sue Nichols is the penultimate of feathers, which I just adored. And she taught me a very, I think, an easy way, but it made sense to me. And I really enjoyed it, and I ended up finishing that quilt and then entering it in my guild quilt show. And it won an award, and then it's gone on to capture the eye of other people. But that's one of my favorite. That's my first baby, really, top to bottom. I've made a number of quilts where I've pieced the top, but I've given it to a long armor to finish it. But this I wanted to do totally on my own.
So that quilt, that's the quilt that's published in the Lone Stars 3.
Yes.
How did you feel when you found out it was going to be in the book?
It just brings tears to my eyes, because the colors of that quilt, believe it or not, when I chose those colors way back when, I had no idea that teal is a color for ovarian cancer. And of course, pink is a color for breast cancer. And the colors of that quilt are teal and pink. Well, since I lost my mother 31 years ago to ovarian cancer, and then when my sister was diagnosed almost 4 years ago with ovarian cancer, I immediately knew that I needed to go see my doctor and be tested to see if I carried the genetic mutation that predisposes me for ovarian and breast cancer. And sure enough, I carry the gene for it's called BRCA1 genetic mutation. And that then pretty much has given me not only a cause for something to work for, but also this combines with my passion. And that's when I've gone to MD Anderson and asked and begged them if they need any help with their ovarian cancer quilt project to raise money for their cause.
And so do you make quilts for them?
I do make quilts for them, but I'm also a really great big proponent for them. I go around and talk to guilds about the signs and symptoms of ovarian and uterine cancers, spreading the word to quilt shops and as many people as we can to get the word out there to raise awareness for ovarian cancers and gynecological cancers.
Oh, did you help with a booth here at the festival?
I did. I helped there. We've got 153 quilts that are on the online auction this year, and about 12 of those quilts are coming specifically from my guild, the Woodlands Area Quilt Guild, in order to raise funds this year. They've been quilts comfort, and so many quilters have such generous hearts, and so it truly has come out, especially of my guild, wanting to help, understanding they've got family members that have female cancers, and this is just a local way that we can hopefully make a difference for other women, not only locally, around the nation and around the world.
It's great. Quilters are very giving people.
They are.
Is that one of your favorite colors, teal?
That's a really good question. I wouldn't necessarily say that teal is my favorite color, but teal is the favorite color of my son. And that is why the quilt that's in the book, the Wyoming Prairie right. Winters, that's why it's a teal colored quilt, because he was a little guy, and I had taken him with me when I was shopping for fabrics for that project. And he gravitated right towards that color. And so I thought, why not? And I particularly like the fabric because it's got a lot of paisley on it. I do like the paisley design. And so, again, it's pretty interesting that it turned out that it was the teal and pinks when you can have a range of choices of any color you want.
And the quilt you brought today is teal.
This is all teal. This comes from a very special packet that was given to us by Cherry Wood Fabrics. They hand dye their own fabrics, and their foundress had passed on from ovarian cancer in 2002. So Carla, who owns the company now, had met the folks at MD Anderson at the booth at International Quilt Festival several years ago. And so they wanted to donate fabrics for the cause. And they gave us 24 packets of gradations of 6 pieces of fabric of gradations of teal. And because they were, I think they might have been fat quarters, so there were 6 of these pieces, the fat quarters of the 6 different gradations of teal. It wasn't enough to make a full-size quilt. I mean, what should we do with it? Well, I'm also very involved with the art quilters with Sakwa locally in the Houston area. And so I had taken the fat quarters to my local Sakwa meeting, and I asked anybody if they wanted to sign up and make a quilt for MD Anderson that would be put up, used for auction to help raise funds for ovarian, uterine cancer. And as a result, we have 20 quilts that were in the Cherrywood Challenge this year that were made by all kinds of wonderful art quilters and quilters that use these special fabrics, and they're just all spectacular.
Yeah. How do you use this quilt?
Well, right now it's being used to raise funds for MD Anderson. I'm hoping that I'm going to get it back by bidding enough money so I can bring it back into my home. But if it doesn't, hopefully that it'll raise enough money for the cause that'll make a difference for somebody else.
Do you have a hard time parting with your quilts?
It's interesting. It depends on the type of quilt that I've made. This one in particular, because it's so emotional, it has so much emotion for me, so much meaning, I don't want to let this one go. But I've taught disappearing nine patch patterns technique to my guild, and so I've made a number of disappearing nine patch quilts for friends and for gifts. And so if it's a nice easy pattern, it's still a quilt, it's wonderful, it's easy to give those as gifts. The more difficult the pattern, the harder it is to give away.
So is felting on a quilt common for you to do?
It's actually fairly new. Again, in one of my art groups that I belong to, we do all different kinds of play days. And one of the days that we had, we were playing with what's called an embellisher. And it's got, the embellisher that we were playing with, I think either has 5 or 7 needles. And you take a piece of fabric and you take wool roving or any other kind of fibers, and puts it permanently into the fabric that you're embellishing on.
Do you ever use other embellishing things like beads or?
I have used beads. I'm still experimenting again with different kinds of techniques, mostly painting. I've done a lot of crystal embellishments, not so much beads, and I'm trying to expand my embellishment repertoire with embroidery.
Embroidery by hand or by machine?
No, by hand.
By hand? Mm-hmm. So you like to combine hand and machine work then?
Hand and machine work. I do hand and machine applique, hand and machine quilting. It just depends on what the piece needs.
Are you mostly doing wall size quilts? Or do you do both?
I do everything.
Okay.
It's interesting because I don't really have a specific style or genre. I pretty much go wherever I feel the inspiration takes me at the moment. And at the moment, I'm getting ready for my quilt show that's going to be in April for my guild. And so those are going to be mostly bed-sized quilts that I'll be having. But I also I belong to another art group, and they're an international art group, and we do little 12 by 12 pieces. So it just depends on where I'm heading and what my focus is for that particular piece.
What's your job for your show? What are you doing for the show, your guild show? Are you in charge of it?
No, I'm not in charge of it this year. But what I played, and I'm not playing a major role for our guild show this year, and the reason is because my daughter ended up, she's getting married that night. So, of all the days that they had to pick, and it's kind of an interesting story how they ended up with picking their wedding to be that night. So my guild has been very understanding, but where I've really been a major force in my guild that I've really enjoyed is when we had an auction 2 years ago. We decided that we would split out our show and our auction separate. We felt that having a show and auction at the same time was a lot of work and it's just too much work, kind of burning everybody out. So we decided that we would do an experiment where we would just have the auction by itself. And so I really, really believe in my guild. I really love my guild very, very much. And we've got a lot of new quilters that have come aboard. And I'm pretty much self-taught, although I've been able to go to classes and learn from other people. But sometimes you don't always get the classes you want when you want it. So we structured it where I taught workshops 3 times a month on a particular technique to teach our guild members on certain techniques. And then the idea would be that they would either give us a patch back or do a project on the technique. So we did hand and machine applique 1 month. We did borders 1 month and bindings. We did design 1 month. So we've done all different kinds of techniques in order to get ready for the auction. And so we'll have another auction again in 2 years, and I see myself playing a role in that and getting people lined up. And then it was very interesting when we were making some of these quilts that I would just, there would be a quilt top that needed a border on it, and I would hand it to somebody. I said, "Now, put the border on, it needs to be 5 inches wide." And they took it over to their machine and realized they didn't know, they had never been taught on how to put a border on, how to measure. They just thought that they just measured a side, cut it, and sewed it. And so there's all these wonderful teaching moments that we had during these workshops that kind of came out of not even having a lesson plan, just coming out of that people made assumptions when they made their own quilts. And so it's made everybody in my guild a better quilter. Another thing that I'm really involved in my guild is I've been the co-chair for the last 2 years with the American Quilter Society, the Ultimate Guild Challenge. It's been in Knoxville for the last 2 years. And the idea is that your guild picks the top 8 quilts and you send it off to AQS and based on a challenge that you've picked. And it's been a wonderful way that you can choose your own challenge and display the quilting from your guild. And I think this has really enabled a lot of members from my guild to get involved in a group effort, putting things into a judge show and not feeling that they're out there hanging by themselves or alone and getting things judged. And the nice thing about the Ultimate Guild Challenge is that it's not judged. I mean, they do pick a first, second, and third winner as a group, but they don't write any kind of critiques on the quilts that come. And so it makes it real safe. So we're slowly trying to edge a lot of these quilters into going up to the next level. And then the other thing that I do in my bead, I've been on the board for about 5 years, but I jump around to all different kinds of positions because you're only allowed to be in a position on the board for 2 years in that position. And I really enjoy being a leader. But one of the things that came out of the workshops is that I taught a machine quilting class, and so many people wanted to learn how to machine quilt on their domestic machine. So a year ago, we started a bee, and we called it the Wannabees. We want to be able to machine quilt our own quilts. And we started with about 25, and every month I would put together ideas or different kinds of techniques or exercises. And we've been doing that now for about 15 months. And it's really been very empowering and inspiring to them and to me as far as the amount of time needed in the saddle to become a good machine quilter, but also they've been using this as a way of finishing a lot of our community service quilts. They've been practicing machine quilting on our community service quilts. So it's really been hand in hand of what we do as a guild.
Are most of your friends quilters?
Well, if they're my true friends, they're quilters. I have friends because we've traveled so many places. I'm also a long distance runner, so I have a lot of friends that do that as well, and neighbors, and so I have, yeah. But my friends that quilt talk, I call it code talking, because when you quilt talk, there's never enough to talk about, and it's always very exciting to have friends that are quilters.
Yes. You mentioned to me earlier that you have a favorite pattern.
Well, I love feather stars, and I'm hoping that I've got another project that I've started. I've only got it in several blocks, and I'm hoping to do some kind of a feathered star, using feathered star in a original and unique way.
Okay.
So using a traditional pattern in a different way.
Okay. And do you collect anything special?
Well, I've got featherweight machines. When we lived in England, the featherweights were made in Scotland. And so in England, there was a number of featherweights that were sold on eBay. And so I also managed not only to get the featherweights, but I also got the very special, I think they're 222s, the ones that are, there's only very few that remain. They've got the little arm that comes out, and there's not very many of those. So I have three featherweights. And I also collected antique Singer sewing machines. So I have about four or five of those that I picked up at antique fairs. And
where do you store your, or do you display the sewing machines?
I do. I have a special ledge in my house that I have the sewing machines out. And then I really do, I have one featherweight machine that is in working order. Well, they're all in working order, but the one that I use is out.
And you use it often?
Occasionally.
Do you have a studio?
Well, I do have a studio in a sense. It's the upstairs game room. So when our son went off to college, we took the big screen TV out of there, moved in my sewing tables and my cutting tables, and we converted it into a sewing studio. And then about a year ago, I needed to expand, so I took another bedroom, and we moved the bed out, and we put more sewing machines and tables in there.
And they're all for you?
Yes. And when my friends come over, I have a table then where they can also set up their sewing machine, because one of the things that's been very challenging for me personality-wise, because I'm an extrovert and I love being around people, but I understand I've also got to have sewing time, that I invite one or two friends to come to my house to sew as often as possible, and they bring their projects, and then we have sew days, and so I've got a table where they can set up, and then I'm just on the opposite side. It's a lot of fun.
That's nice. So are you a full-time quilter or artist?
Yeah, I would say so. It's interesting, because one of the things I'm always asked about is, how long have you been a quilter? And I really, really started thinking about time in the saddle and having a job and having a family and moving as many times as we have, that I really haven't been able to focus on being a full-time quilter since 2007. So only in the last 4 years have I been able to really focus on quilting. Now, before that, I sewed quilts, I made quilts, maybe once or twice a year, and always at the kitchen table. I never really had a space, so now that I've had a space, I feel like I can take more time to work on projects and leave them out.
How many projects do you work on at a time?
I think I have that addiction. I have ADHD, I think, sometimes. When I start a project, and I get it to a point, and then I think, I'm not ready to finish it, or I don't know what else it means, so I'll put what else it needs. So I'll put it away, and then I'll start on something else. Or maybe somebody's, one of my friends has had a baby, and I feel like I need to get a baby quilt done. Or maybe, like for my sister, when she got sick with cancer, I stopped everything. I made a quilt. They had a fundraising event for her, so I made a quilt for the fundraiser, and then I also made a quilt for her, a cuddle quilt that she could take when she went and had chemo. I've had a couple other friends that have been diagnosed with breast cancer that I immediately stop everything, make them a quilt, get it to them ASAP, and they take it when they go and get their chemo. So probably right now I have about 6 or 7 projects that I call in the chute, that have been started, that have been put away, that need to be finished.
Do you use a design wall?
I use a design wall, but I also call it my design floor.
Sorry. Thank you. Do you use your design wall, you were saying?
Right. I have a design wall, and I also have my design floor and have my design bed, and I basically design wherever I can lay it out. But I have an artist friend who has one of those portable walls that she made. And so she basically, it's a piece of insulation. I think it's about a 4x8 board that she covered with felt. And that's been very nice because I can turn it sideways in my other room that I sew in. I do have a felt up on the entire wall in the old game room that I converted over. And then I've got some beds that I use, and I always throw it on the floor, or I throw it on the floor. I have a landing, and then that way I can look down on it. So it just depends on the kind of distance and perspective I need.
Do you have a big stash?
Don't tell my husband.
Okay. We'll tell him not to listen to the interview.
Don't,
then.
You're not allowed to read the transcript, honey. I do have a stash, and it's interesting because, again, depending on what I feel that I want to make. I have a stash of batiks, I have a stash of children's fabrics, I have a stash of brights, I have a stash of neutrals, I have a stash for applique, but at some point in time, they're all going to find their way into a wonderful, wonderful quilt.
That's good. Is there any aspect of the quilt making process that you don't like?
Being by myself. I don't like being by myself. And I think that's why I've really enjoyed teaching these workshops to my guild friends. I also taught some dear friends of mine. When we all lived in Holland together, our children are about the same age. We all moved back to Houston. There's about 5 or 6 of us. And then we wanted to make t-shirts for our graduating seniors. We wanted to make t-shirt quilts for our graduating seniors. And I said, well, I'll teach you how to do that. So we all got together about 4 or 5 or 6 times making these t-shirt quilts. They didn't know how to make these. Several of them didn't even have sewing machines. And so not only did we make t-shirt quilts for that child, but the next year we had another child that was graduating from high school. So they came back again. And those are probably my happiest times, is teaching my friends how to quilt, them making something special for their family members that's being made by the mom. And also just teaching people how to quilt, I really get a lot of satisfaction and happiness from doing that.
Great. Are you drawn to any particular quilt maker, other quilt makers? Their styles, their colors?
Well, I'm always amazed I took a class here at Festival 2 years ago from Philippa Naylor. And I lived in the UK for 3 years, and I always wanted to take a class with her when I was there, and I never managed to. So her style is so original, and using threads for coloring in her quilting, I thought was just beautiful, and her own design. Cynthia England, using all those little teeny tiny pieces to piece together pictorial quilts, I just think is phenomenal. Sue Nichols. I mean, Sue Nichols, I think, will always be my hero because she was the one that empowered me to get beyond my own fears of quilting my own quilt on my domestic machine. I mean, I have some Ricky Timms, so many heroes out there that are amazing, amazing quilters.
Well, you seem to have covered a lot of information. It's great. How do you think we should preserve quilting for the future generations?
I definitely would love to see sewing, home ec, quilting coming back into the school systems. I think we need to organically be able to teach our young people how to use a machine, how to sew, how to be creative, how to use it for expression, either through making quilts for comfort or for color. I really do believe very strongly that we need to be able to continue this on, and it makes me very, very sad when I see a lot of these types of things that we do by hand, because we know so much of our time and our spirit and our energy goes into these quilts, and we can feel those when we sleep underneath of them. But to have so many of these mass-produced that I feel are very soulless. Now, they're pretty, and I think they maybe, there's a market for them, but I think that we really need to encourage our young people that they can do this as well. When I lived in the UK, they really, really teach their young people all kinds of fiber crafts, knitting, embroidery, crochet, sewing, and it's part of their culture. And I think quilting has been part of our culture, and we can't overlook it by forgetting to teach those that are coming up.
Do your children quilt? Any of your children?
No, they don't. No, they don't.
Well, maybe it'll skip to your grandchildren.
Well, I'll just kind of add a little note. They saw me do it. They thought it looked so easy, and they just thought that it's easy enough for mom to do it. I taught my son to quilt, and he can quilt. He's very mechanical. He's very good. My daughter is very creative, but she's not very mechanical. And I think at some point, when she starts her own family, she knows that she can come to me, and I would be more than happy to teach her. And my son as well, and for any of their wives or any of my grandchildren, absolutely.
Do you have any other stories that you'd like to tell us today?
Well, I just know that 4 years ago, when I started quilting was basically full-time, having the time to quilt. Kids were all gone off to school. I really, really dreamt that one day my quilt would hang in Houston. And my quilt hung in Houston 2 years later in the special exhibits with the Texas Guild exhibit that they do. And I never would have imagined that it ever would have been picked to be one of the best 200 quilts made in Texas in the last 25 years. But I hope that by having a dream, by encouraging others to have a dream and making it big, that there's nothing wrong with dreaming big. It's absolutely the way that we can head towards a goal. And my next dream is to have a quilt on the winner's circle here at Houston one of these days.
Well, I think that's a great way to end our interview, and I hope I'll come see your quilt when it's hanging in the winner's circle. Thank you so much, Vanetta, for allowing me to interview you today and for the Quilters SOS Save Our Stories Oral History Project. Our interview is concluding at 1:40.
Very good. Thank you so much.